So the beginning of the parasha, this is actually the longest parasha in the Torah, most amount of Pesukim. So the parasha starts off speaking about the Levium. The Levium. And the Levium were broken up into three families. The family of Kohos, the family of Merari, and the family of Gershon. Not in that order, it's actually Kohos, Gershon, and Merari. They're the three family, the three Levite families. And their job in the Mishkan, in the Tabot, at least in the base of Mig, not base of English, in the Mishkan, as they're traveling through the desert, they had to carry the Mishkan, they had to carry the different parts of the Mishkan as they traveled through the desert, because the Mishkan, as we know, was dismantled, right? Then they carried it, they transported it through the desert, and they got to various different locations, different encampments, and then they would have to then set up the Mishkan once again. So this job, this responsibility of carrying all of the different parts of the Mishkan was upon the Levium, aside from the fact that Levium did other things as well, but this is something which the Torah speaks about at the beginning of the last week's parasha, beginning of this week's parasha. So the division of these different responsibilities, Kohos, the family of Kohos, end of last week's portion, it says that their responsibility was to carry the implements of the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of the Holies. They carried the Aron and all the different, the menorah, not just the menorah as well. They carried those implements inside the Holy and the Holy of Holies. That was their job. That was for the family of Levium called Kohos. Then at the beginning of this, his parasha tells us that the responsibility of the family of Gershon, and a little bit of a smile comes to my face whenever I say this and think about this, because I remember many years, it goes back maybe 30 years ago, perhaps a little less than 30 years ago, I was with my father, Oliver Shalom, for Shabbos, my brother's house in Mensa, and we were for this parasha, Parashas Naso, and he was looking at the parasha, and he was so excited because the beginning of the parasha spoke about the family of Gershon, and my father's name was Gershon, and his responsibility, their responsibility, the family of Gershon, was to carry the materials, the drapes, the coverings of the Mishkan. And my father was a custom tailor, so he got a lot of satisfaction about seeing this. There was some kind of intrinsic connection between materials, fabrics, and the family of Gershon. And that was their responsibility. And then moving further along, then goes into the family of Merari. And the family of Merari, their responsibility was to carry the planks and the poles and the sockets and all the different kind of more physical, outer structural parts of the Mishkan. And that was their responsibility. And that's what the parasha details. It also details the members of the Levim as well. It goes through, tallies up how many members there were of Merari, of Kohos, of Gershon, and gives the tally. So if you take a look at Pasuk 40, Perek Dalet, chapter 4, Pasuk 48, the very end of last two verses of the fourth chapter, it says their countings of all of the Levium, their countings were 8,580. And that's the end of the passage over there, the tally of all of the Levium, and that's it. The Pasuk right before this, though, captures in essence what was the overarching job of the Levium. I just explained to you what the job of the Levium was. However, the Pasuk says in Pasuk 47, it says, Miben Shloshim Shonva Mala, from age 30 up until Ad Bein Ben Chamishim, up until the age of 50, Shona, because that was the age of the service of the Levium. They worked between the ages of 30 and 50. Kala Ba, all of the Levium who came, La'avod, Avodas Avoda, to perform the Avoda of the Avoda. I'll explain this in a second. The Avodas Masa and the Avoda, the service of Masa, of carrying the Oel Moed, the Tent of Meeting. So it's the Pasuk is saying all of the Levim between the age of 30 and 50 had the job of performing the Avoda of the Avoda, as well as the Avoda of Masa, of carrying. Now, I said it very slowly because it is confusing a little bit, ambiguous. The avoda of Masa, the avoda of carrying, I understand, because I just explained that the Levium carried the Mishkan. They carried the tabernacle through the desert. So that was a big part of their avoda, their job. The avoda of Masov, carrying. In fact, the name of the parasha is called Noso, from the same word, carrying, because that's what they did. So avodas hamasa is good, but the phrase before this, all the Levim between the ages of 30 and 50 performed the avoda of avoda. This literally the service of service. What is that? What is that about? What's that avoda of avoda? What is that referring to? So Rashi brings the Gemara in Erechin, and Tractate Erechin explains, well, it discusses the source of the fact that the Levim had another major job, and that was to sing. Right? The Levim used to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. They sang in the Mishkan, they sang in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was their job. They sang. So if you meet a Levi with a beautiful voice, it makes sense because he's a Levi. If you meet a Levi who doesn't have such a good voice, maybe, no, I'm just joking. You know, I don't know if every Levi today has good voices, but the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, that was their job. So the Gemara goes through and presents all of the different sources in the Torah for the fact that their job was to sing. It's not mentioned explicitly, the point is. It doesn't say explicitly in the Torah that the Levim sang in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, or they had to do that. It's actually one of the mitzvahs, one of the Tariag mitzvahs. It's their obligation to do that. But it doesn't say explicitly, which is one of these interesting things. You know, you have, you know, many times many mitzvahs are very, very open and clear and explicit. There are certain mitzvahs and certain ideas and halachas which are not so explicit. And this is one of them. It's not explicit in the Chumash as thou shalt sing. Levim have to sing. It doesn't say that. So the Gemara has a whole bunch of sources where to allude it to in the Chumash, where the mitzvah and the obligation of singing of the Levim is alluded to. And this pasuk is one of those sources. Avodas avoda, the service of the avoda that they had to do, the service of the service, refers to the service of singing, which serves another service. They sang as an avoda, as a service for another service. What other service? The other service is the karbonos, the sacrifices. So the service of the service is the singing, the service of singing, for the sake, for the needs of the other service, namely the sacrifices. Because the Levim sang in accompaniment to the service of the karbonos, of the sacrifices. They sang also with musical instruments as well. And that's what it means over here, that they had to do the avoda of the avoda, the service of the service, right? The service of singing, right? To serve the purpose of the avoda, the service of the karbonos, the sacrifices. And that's what the, and that's what the, that's what Rashi mentions this. Now, if you look at the Gemara, when you look at the Gemara just, Rashi actually in the Gemara just says a slightly more focused explanation of this. So Rashi says that this is the song, this is the Shira. Shira is song, right? This is referring to the Shira Salavim, the song of the Levim. So the Gemara says, this is why we read the Gemara, it says Ezu Avoda, Shatricha Avoda, what is the Avoda that needs an Avoda? It's Shira, it's a song. So Rashi says, Sarach Avodas Karban, it's the necessity of the Sarach Avodas Karban, it needs the service of the sacrifice. She'enad Nemar El Al Yayin, it's said about the wine. That service specifically is referring to the wine, Shel Nischei Karban, of the libations of the Karban. So Rashi says that the specific part of the avoda of the Karban, of the sacrifice that required the singing, was not just the whole sacrifice in general. It was specifically the wine libations on the altar at the time of the sacrifice. That's the part which required, that's the part where they had to sing. I don't know if they sang at other times as well, but at least in terms of the obligation, they were supposed to sing specifically at the time the wine was being libated, poured on the altar. Now, I don't know how many people are familiar with this avoda, but when the karbonos were brought, the sacrifices with the animal parts were brought to the top of the Mizbeach, and they were burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, They also took these wine libations. There were basins on the top of the Mizbeach, and they would put, you would pour, the Kohen would pour wine into the basin, and there was a spigot, and then the wine would come out of that spigot and then flow onto the top of the Mizbeach, and then flow down into holes on the top of the Mizbeach, which descended down to the very depths of the altar. We've discussed this before with respect to sukkahs, because on sukkahs, they don't do it with wine, they do it with water. The wine light with the water libations. So there were spigots on the basin, on the bowl, and the water, I think it's actually, I'm making a mistake, there were two bowls, one for the wine, one for the water. But either way, right, that's the wine libation. It was that moment, and that avoda of pouring the water, the wine into the basin with the over the carbon on adjacent to the sacrifice. That's when the Levim had their obligation of singing, right? That's what it's referring to. Rashi says that. So that's the primary place of the singing of the Levim. And it begs the question, like, what is that about? Like, what is that? Why is specifically the wine libation the time that demands the singing, that demands the singing? So I saw, I want to thank Rob Rosa, because a number of years ago, when he bought a set of Rabbi Hirsch's commentary on the Chumash, I think it was you, right? The volume by Midbar was like he got an extra. There was a printing error in it. So he sent me the copy. So I have this very good version of Rassamshon Ophel Hirsch's commentary on the Chumash. And so he says very beautifully. I mean, I have another version of it. It's not, this is just they did a rewriting of this one of it. So it's like reads very fluidly, very beautifully. So he says on this pasuk of the avoda, the service, a very, very inspirational idea. First of all, he says, what is avoda? What is avoda? So avoda is service. Eved Hashem, service of Hashem. I was speaking about that. Avoda Hashem, service of Hashem. What is avodas Hashem? What is serving Hashem? What is serving Hashem? What is being an avod Hashem? Service of Hashem, he says, is not passive submission, right? That's the first thing you have to know. Serving God is not this passive kind of robotic submission to God. That's not what service of Hashem is. Avoda is the creative and active subordination of one who joyfully undertakes to serve God's purposes on earth. That's what service of Hashem is. The creative, active, joyful subordination to the wishes and the will of the Almighty to fulfill His purpose on earth. That's being a servant to Hashem, being creatively active and joyful in my subordination to the Almighty. That's what Avodas Hashem is. And he says, the blissfulness of this avoda, that blissfulness, that joy, the bliss of such an experience of joyfully subordinating myself creatively and actively, the blissfulness of that experience finds its highest expression when? At the time of the Nesachim, at the time of the wine libations. That's when it finds its pristine zenith of joy and bliss of serving Hashem. Why is that? He says, because at that time, all of the yearning of our hearts and the cup of our joy overflow down to the base of the altar of the Torah. You see, the wine libations is symbolic of the cup. Thy cup shall overflow. Your cup shall overflow with blessing. The cup is a cup of wine. The wine libation symbolizes our cup of joy, our cup of yearning, our cup of satisfaction of serving God. And when that cup overflows with so much joy, symbolized by the wine on the altar overflowing out of the basin and flowing over onto the top of the Mizbeach and then flowing down into the holes down to the base of the altar, that's symbolic of my cup of life, my cup of joy and satisfaction, of the joy of being able to serve Hashem. He says, human thought knows no happiness comparable to the happiness of one who lives his life in faithfulness to the service of God. I'll repeat those words again. Human thought knows no happiness comparable to the happiness of one who lives his life in faithfulness to the service of God. And when one has such a happiness that they are just so overwhelmed with joy over the fact that I can serve the most elevated being of the entirety of reality, I can serve Hashem, that joy of being able to do that, my cup overflows, the wine overflows, that moment is the greatest joy, and then therefore it's accompanied automatically. It's accompanied automatically, spontaneously. It should be spontaneous, but it's also an avoda. It's a job they have to do too. But it's accompanied by song. It's accompanied by the song of the Levim. He says the song of the sanctuary springs from the heart that is filled with the awareness of this happiness. It expresses in words the thoughts and emotions that the offering symbolizes in acts. So the song of the Levim is this breaking forth of this emotion inside the heart that I'm so thankful, I'm so joyous, I'm so appreciative of having this opportunity to serve Hashem. And I do that as a Levi. The Levim would do that at that moment when in action, that joy is expressed with action by doing the avoda, the service of the korban, of the sacrifice, but together with the overflowing of the cup of wine on the altar, and it just all blends together in this absolute kind of crescendo of tremendous joy and satisfaction. And all of a sudden, the Levim just burst out in song because the emotions just well up and explode out into the mouth because we're so thankful to be able to serve Hashem. Just beautiful. What a beautiful commentary that. I mean, that he doesn't need my endorsement, but I was so inspired by that. But it really, you know, this is what the Shira, the song of the Levim, was, specifically that moment. And that's what Avodas Avoda is, the service of this service, the service of singing. They had a job to do. You know, he's describing it in some ways as a spontaneous reaction, but it's also an Avoda because sometimes we don't always feel like that. We don't always feel like singing, but we have to do it anyway. So it is labeled, interestingly, in the Torah as an Avoda, as a service. Oftentimes we look at service as being something you have to do, and it is something you have to do. But the root of it, the heart of it, is this desire, and this, not just desire, but this expression of tremendous joy and honor and satisfaction that I have to be able to serve the Almighty, to serve Hashem. The creative, active, joyful subordination to the will of the Almighty. That's what Avoda is. And that's what the song is. That's their Avoda's Avoda. That's the song of the Levium. So that's one source. I said before that in Tractate Erechin, there's a bunch of sources that the Gemara finds for the source of the mitzvah of Shira, of the Levim to sing. Another source, right, another pasuk, which is an allusion to the obligation of singing that they had, another source for this is later on in the parasha, chapter 7, verse 9. So fast forward to chapter 7, verse 9, and again talking about the Levim, obviously. So chapter 7, verse 9, this is in the Art Scroll on page 765. And it says there, it says, Ulevnei Kahas, talking about the Bnei Kahas, the family of Kahas. It says, Lo Nosam, Hashem did not give to them wagons to carry their parts of the Mishkan. I said before that the three families were divided in terms of the different things they had to carry. So Merari carried the planks, etc. And Gershon carried the materials. Kahas carried the instruments, the vessels inside the Holy, in the Holy of Holies. Now, the other two families, Merari and Gershon, were given wagons to carry those things. When they traveled through the desert, they carried them on wagons. Kahas weren't given wagons. They weren't given wagons. They had to carry the Aron on their shoulders, the menorah on their shoulders. They carried it. They were directly in contact with those vessels. Levnei Kahas le'nosa. To the Bnei Kahas, to the children of Kahas, he never gave wagons. Ki avodas hakodesh aleihem, because the avodas hakodesh, the service of the holy, the sacred service, was upon them physically. Bekosef, on their shoulders. Bekosef on their shoulders. You saw they would carry those vessels. They carried them on their shoulders. So fine, that's pshat. That's the posha pshat, the simple explanation of the pasuk. But again, the Gemara right? The Gemara, and the Medrash brings the Gemara as well. The Gemara says this is another allusion, another hint to the mitzvah of them singing. Because the Medrash says, I'm reading from the Medrash, it's in the Gemara too, but the Medrash says that minayin l'ikashira min haTorah, where do we know the concept of singing of the Levim from the Torah? And several verses, but one of them is this one. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said it's this pasuk over here. Because it says, Levnei Kahas lo nosan, to the children of the sons of Kahas, he didn't give the wagons, ki avodas hakodesh aleihem, because save your soul. And the word, so the Medrash says, Mimashma shenem b'kosei, from the fact that it says, on the shoulder, there are voters on the shoulder, Eini yadeya she is so, do I not know that they were carrying it? The question is this, if you look at the pasuk closely, right, it says, b'kosei if you so, on the shoulder, they would carry the vessels. So strictly speaking, the word yisau, they shall carry them, is redundant. You don't need to say that, because the pasuk could have read, ki avodas hakodesh aleihem b'kosef, the holy sacred service was upon them on the shoulder, b'kosef, on the shoulder, period. It doesn't have to say yisau, that they should carry it as well. It's a redundancy, at least on the surface, it's a redundancy. So the Medrash says, from the fact that it says b'kosef, on the shoulders, eini yadeh sheyisau, do I not know that they were carrying it? Of course they were carrying it on the shoulders. Mat palmud lomash yisau, what's the point of the pasuk saying yisau? So Medrash says, ein yisau elalashin shir, because the word yisau is also found to be an expression of song. Etymologically, grammatically, this word yisau has a relationship to the word song, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya. It says su'u zimra usenu sof, like raise up song and play music. So the word yisau is used elsewhere in reference to song. That's all we need to know for the time being. It's used elsewhere to refer to song. Yisau has an allusion to song. And therefore the pasuk is saying, right, that the service, that the B'nai Kahas, the children Kahas, they had the Avodas HaKodesh was upon their shoulders. They carried their different vessels on their shoulders. Plus, Yisau, they would sing as well. So the pasuk is really telling us two things, right? It's telling us that they carried their vessels on their shoulders, plus, right, they sang as well. Not at the time when they were carrying them, because we know the singing was by the wine libations, but it's another clue. It's another remez to the fact that they sang, right? According to this pshat, just a simple reading of the Medrash, it would seem like I just read that the pasuk is really saying just two different things. It's saying they carried the stuff on the shoulders, plus they would sing as well at the time of singing when they did the wine libations in the Mishkan. So from the simple reading of the Medrash and the Gemara, the pasuk is just really alluding to a second service, and the singing really has nothing to do with the fact that they were carrying the vessels on their shoulders. That's what it would look like on the surface. However, the Sfas Emes and other commentaries, so they say that no, that the pasuk is actually, you can actually read the pasuk together. The singing can actually go perfectly together with the carrying. So the Sfas Emes says that really the phrase goes together. It's really expressing one idea. Because if you saw on the shoulder, they would sing. Now, again, they weren't singing. The point is, I'm going to be clear over here. The pasuk is not teaching us that they would sing at the time when they were carrying it, even though we're going to see shortly that they did sing then as well. But it's not, but the obligation to sing in the Mishkan was specifically with the wine libations. But because it's hinted to over here, it teaches us another idea, which is very beautiful. And that is that as they were carrying the Mishkan, as they were carrying the Holy of Holies, the Aron, for example, that itself motivated them and stimulated them and inspired them to automatically sing because of the tremendous Kedusha, the tremendous holiness of the Aron itself just stimulated and inspired them to want to sing, because you're carrying such a holy item, how can you not sing? They sang automatically as a result of carrying the Aron. The Aron inspired, the holiness of the Aron inspired them to sing. Let me read what it says and what he says. He gives an example from Shmuel Aleph. We learned this several weeks ago in the story of the, when the Plishtim had seized the Aron Kodesh. When they seized the Aron Kodesh, and it was in the hands of the Plishtim for many months, and eventually was brought back. They came back because they remember the story. They were suffering from hemorrhoids and all sorts of terrible experiences when they were. It was, you know, read over there. It's a horrible story there. What happened to them? Which was good for them because that's what caused them to give up the Aron, and they sent the Aron back to Beit Shemesh. But they sent the Aron back on wagons. It wasn't being led by people. It was led by cows. Cows led the wagon with the Aron Kodesh on it, and it was led back to Beit Shemesh, back to the Yidden in Beit Shemesh. And the Pasuk says, V'yisharna ha'paros b'derech, that the cows went straight on the road. Shal yedei shenos, sorry, went straight on the road. And that's what the simple reading is, that they continue straight on the road. Miraculously, the cows knew where to go, and that was an indication that was really, you know, meant to go back to the Jewish people. But however, it says v'yisharna, even though that means straight, it can also mean singing as well. V'yosharna haparos b'derech. They sang along the way. This is the first time in history we find the term whistle while you work, because the cows were whistling while they worked. They were whistling, they were singing as they were carrying the Aron. The Gemara says, the Gemara darshans this possible, v'yosharna haparos, that the cows were singing as they were bringing back the Aron Kodesh. They were singing. So it says the Sfas Emes, Shal Yedei Shenasu Aron, because they were carrying the Aron, such a holy entity. Nitten Behem Das, it was miraculously given to them, like this kind of awareness, this supernatural awareness. Shal Yedei Shenasu Aron, by the fact that they're carrying the Aron. Nitten Behem Das, the Shura, they were given this Das to sing, for the Zamer to sing. Like it says in the Zohar Kodesh, and the Zohar it says, Aron Dal Gabayu, the Aron on top of their backs, Ovid Lahon, the Zimra, caused them to sing. The holiness just caused them to sing. Kena Levim, and that was the case with Levim as well. The Mesh and Nosso al Kasin, the fact that they were carrying these holy vessels, the Aron, upon their shoulders, Bekoach Zeh, with this energy, Harimu Kol Zimra, they brought forth this sound of song, the sound of jubilation of song. So again, even though the primary mitzvah was in the Mishkan, like I said, Nisach HaMayin, Nisach HaYayin, wine libations, but even as they were carrying it, as they were carrying the Aron, they were spontaneously bursting out in song because of the intense Kedusha, the holiness of the Aron. And then he says like this, for Kamo Kain, similarly so, B'chol Oved Hashem, with every servant of Hashem, with all of us, you and I, every Eved Hashem, that we should sing when we're filled with this radiance and this joy over the fact we're engaged in this avoda of truth. When we're involved in the avoda of truth, doing a mitzvah, that's an avoda of truth. Doing a mitzvah, no matter what the mitzvah is, you think about what that mitzvah is, you're connecting to the divine, you're connecting to the creator of the universe with that mitzvah. Is there anything more powerful, anything greater than that? What greater thing can there be than by doing a mitzvah? What greater commodity, entity in the world is there than a mitzvah? You are directly connecting your neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that mitzvah. How could I not burst out with joy and jubilation and celebration and song? It should happen automatically. I'm carrying this mitzvah. I'm carrying an Aron Kodesh over me. I've got a pair of tefillin on my head. I've got this beautiful, magnificent mitzvah sitting upon my head of the tefillin. It's like an Aron Kodesh. It's the Holy of Holies. It contains the Shema, the parchments of the Shema. How can I not be filled with just such joy and jubilation that I have such a holy thing upon myself? That's tefillin, or it's Shabbos candles, or any mitzvah which you do. Giving tzedakah. I have this, you know, it's interesting. I have this dollar bill in my hand. Is this all it is, a dollar bill? No. As soon as I'm transferring this dollar bill into the hands of a recipient, it's no longer a dollar bill. It's a mitzvah. It's a spiritual powerhouse. I have this dollar bill and transfer it. I should be filled with such joy and happiness and jubilation. I should sing. It should like just generate spontaneously the desire to sing. And he goes on, he says, Ki ikka, because the primary thing in life is avod b'Torah mitzvahs. The primary thing of life is learning and mitzvahs, memelinus male piv shir vazimra, and automatically the mouth should be filled with song and zimra. Kiyesh b'kol yom, and he says similarly, he says that's why every single day. How does the day begin? The day begins every single day with tefillahs v'shiras. Our day begins with singing. We go to shul, we daven, and we sing. The day begins with singing. But makodem, but prior to starting to sing in the morning, you know, again, many people don't necessarily look at davening as singing, but it is. It's shiras v'tishbachas, right? Pesukah de Zimra, that's what it's called. Verses of Zimra. These are verses of singing, right? Someone asks you, where were you this morning? I was singing. I wasn't in choir practice. I was singing with my choir this morning. Oh, very nice. What time? 6:30. Choir practice at 6:30 in the morning. Yeah, I go to shul. I go to shul. I daven in shul. I sing. I sing with all my fellow congregants. You know, it may not sound so kind of melodious to the outside ear, but it's certainly sounding tremendously melodious to the spiritual ear, right? Because that's what davening is. It's singing to Hashem. But what do we do before that? You don't walk into shul and automatically sing. You don't walk into shul and automatically say Pesukah de Zimra. Because prior to doing that, we do mitzvahs. You can't start off davening without mitzvahs. What are the mitzvahs? You put on tefillin. You put on your talis. People give tzedakah. That's also a custom to do that as well, giving tzedakah before davening. But certainly the tefillin and the talis, you put that on as well. But that's the mitzvah. But you know, giving tzedakah is another very important thing before davening. Before that is mitzvahs be'uvda ve'achakach be'milula de'puma k'yadu. And afterwards, our mouths are now filled with joy of song right afterwards. But the point is, what's the message over here? If you're carrying the Aron Kodesh on your shoulders, if you're carrying a mitzvah upon your shoulders, it should automatically stimulate spontaneous song, shira, song. And that's why the pasuk says, you know, because if you saw on the shoulders, they carried the Aron Kodesh on their shoulders, which means they sang. It's an allusion to the obligation of singing in the Mishkan at the time of the wine libations, but it's also an allusion to the fact that they sang even when they were carrying it, because how could they not have been singing because of that holiness of the Aron Kodesh upon their shoulders stimulated spontaneous song out of the joy of being able to experience and being connected to the mitzvah. So that's one pshat. And another pshat, one final pshat on this, in the same pasuk, slightly different, slight variation, is given by the Imre Emes. He says he takes a slightly different view on the same idea of connecting the two parts of the pasuk. On their shoulders, they were singing. They were singing on the shoulders. So he cites, he bases this upon the Chovas HaLevavos. And I don't know if Reuven is listening to this right now. Not Reuven Avram, but Reuven Green, my friend, because sometimes he listens when I'm giving the class. But he's gonna get a kick out of this, because this is from Chovas. If you're listening, Reuven, it's Chovas HaLevavos from Shara Cheshbon HaNefesh, his favorite gate of Cheshbon HaNefesh, which is one of the gates of the gates of repentance. So over there, the Chovas HaLevavos writes that when a person, he says, when a person keeps Hashem's majesty and nearness in his mind at all times, so then what happens is, quote, such a person will reach the highest level of the devout and the righteous. He will then be able to see without eyes, hear without ears, speak without a tongue, etc. To be able to see without eyes, hear without ears, and speak without a tongue. Now, seeing without eyes and hearing without ears is understandable because, you know, we have intuition. We have like an inner, like insight. You can see without, sometimes you see things, you understand things, you hear things which are not being said openly. But what does it mean to speak without words? What does that mean to speak without words? What does that mean? So I'll read what it says over here. It says that the idea is the Imre Emes says, the power of singing a voiceless song to God. It is the ability to sanctify God's name obliquely by going about one's daily activities in such a selfless, sensitive, spirited way with such inner contentment and joy that anyone who observes him can sense the ennobling, enlivening power of God's presence and God's word. the sons of Kohath, the bearers of the holy ark, were tzaddikim of this caliber. About them it says, because if you saw with the shoulder, with the very act of carrying their holy burden, they shall raise up song, not necessarily with verbal, audible song. That's not necessarily what it means. By carrying this burden, carrying these mitzvahs upon their shoulders, they raise up song in their behavior. They shall offer a wordless tribute to God, a statement of the beauty of working in his service. For every joyous, inspired step they took with the ark upon their shoulders was another note in a living melody, another line of lyric verse in praise of the Creator. What a beautiful idea that is, that you can sing without singing. Why? Because you walk gracefully, you walk joyfully, you walk with confidence and with satisfaction in carrying the mitzvahs upon my shoulders. By carrying those mitzvahs upon my shoulders, I walk with pride and satisfaction and joy. That itself is a song. That's a song. You don't have to always be whistling and making noises and making sounds of song as you're doing mitzvahs. But just that tranquil satisfaction that I'm doing a mitzvah, that I'm serving Hashem, there's nothing more blissful than that. And that itself is a song. That itself is a song. That's alluded to because if you saw that in carrying on the shoulders, the imagery of that is very, very strong. Because safe on the shoulders, because sometimes you can feel that maybe the mitzvah is hard to do. It's hard. It may be inconvenient. If a person just does a little bit of pondering, a little bit of thinking and think about what is happening when I'm doing this mitzvah, superficially it's on my shoulders, but it's impacting upon my soul in such a profound way. And if I can just switch that mode and switch that attitude towards the mitzvah from not being a burden to being an opportunity, to being a gateway to be able to connect my soul to Hashem, and just switch that off, turn that behavior, turn that carrying into a song, then that's because of your soul. When we're carrying it on our shoulders with a song as well, just the tranquil acceptance and the tranquil joy in being able to do the mitzvah. So it's all about singing. It's all about singing. And there are three ways to sing. You can sing out of obligation. That's really the avodas avoda. The Levim were charged with that avoda of avoda. They had to sing. They had to sing. It was an obligation. So there are times we have to sing. We have to make ourselves sing, make ourselves connect to what's really latent inside of these mitzvahs. There's obligatory singing. The spontaneous singing, where a person just automatically just so connected to it, just understand, and just spontaneously burst out singing the spontaneous song. And then there's also silent singing as well. And the silent singing is walking confidently, tranquilly, with tranquility and surety and dignity in doing these mitzvahs without griping and complaining and kind of like finding it to be a burden. It's not a burden. It's a tremendous opportunity, obviously, to connect our souls to Shemayim.